And,
okay, so let's see. So we're on Hamabes. Hamabes, it's Amar Rabbi Lai, Amar Rabbi Amar Rabbi Amar Rabbi. Okay. So Hayatan Ochlim Mumashkim. So if a guy is basically holding, let's say, a food or a drink, whatever it is he's holding, V'nichmas V'yotze Kalayom Kulo. So basically means he's holding, like before Shabbos, he's holding this stuff, and he's walking around or whatever, and then as Shabbos comes, he's still holding it and walking around. So Inu Chayav Adshiyamor. So he's not Chayav unless he stands. Here, Rashi. Hayatan Ochlimashkim. Mash lo tonu l'kach. Okay, he didn't pick it up. He picked something up, not in order to carry it out. Ella yaton birshas hayachid. He's holding something in. He picked something up. Let's say he's holding something in birshas hayachid in a private domain. In order to carry it from one corner of the house to the other corner of the house, which is perfectly permitted. Okay, now what's the space here? And then, so he picks it up with the intent of not doing a hotzah. That's what's carrying. They're not doing a hotzah. But he just wants to pick it up and bring it from the living room to the dining room, which is perfectly fine. And then, after he picks it up, he says, hey, you know what, I'm not going to stop at the dining room. I'm going to go. This thing stopped. Okay. So even if he puts it down, when he goes out, he picked it up, again, just to go within the Rosh Hashiach, and then he walks outside, then he's not going to be chayev ad sheyamod. Ve'achar kach yachar atzmo lotzes. So in other words, he has to stop in his house, and stopping is basically like putting it down, because since the body is at rest, it's like the object is at rest. Okay, and then he has to stop in his house, and then start again. Then he has to pick himself up with the intent of picking it up to go to bring it outside. The midas gufo vadai kamidas chayfetz, because the starting, the picking his body up or starting to walk is like he's picking the object up. Hilkach ki amad ve'akar amanas lotzes. Therefore, if he starts walking in order to bring it out and then he brings it out, then he's mechayev. Avo below amida leka akira. But if he doesn't start again, if he's just walking around, he doesn't have a picking it up. He only has the initial time that he picked it up. That wasn't with the intent of carrying it out. That was with the intent of just picking it up, just to walk to carry it inside the house, which is permitted. The Torah lo chiva, ela melechas machshavas. Okay, the Torah is your only violation if you do a malachas machshavas, which means like a malacha with intent, or with a machshava, with thought. Okay, so you have to be doing some type of productive action with thought. The gemirin mi mishkan, and we learn out from the mishkan. That's in the mishkan they did it, because the mishkan they were building the mishkan, the Beis Hamikdash or whatever, and the malacha is learned out from there, because then that's how they built the Mishkan, with certain type of productive activities, which productive activities involves thought, right? Intent, machshava. She is kavein lasas hamalacha, that you have to have intent to be doing the malacha, okay, whatever type of malacha it is. Avalo yodea shehu shabbos, o kesavar shemalacha zumutaras. Then that's not the violation. That's shogeg. But is that, that's not malachas machshavas. There's apparently something new going on here. See what's not enough here. I'll read, there's another Rashi. The problem is this Rashi doesn't read. The end of Rashi is like the sentence cut off in the middle or something like that. The Rashi is Einu Chayav Adshiyamod on Hamabes. So there's a Rashi in Chaf Aleph in Ksubas, Lamed Aleph. It says, explain it a little better. It says, "V'Shabbos machas machshavas as v'Torah." On Shabbos, it's only machas machshavas is forbidden. Sheneskavein lekach, that you have to have intent. Ela sheshogag b'Shabbos. You intend to do it, but you forgot that it's Shabbos. Kesavar shayom chol, you think it's a weekday. Or malachas v'Torah, you think that this is permitted. Aval kilonis kavein, but if you don't have intent to do the action altogether, poter mechatos. Then you don't even get. You're not even. You don't have to bring a carbon. You have to bring sacrifice. Okay, do you get it? Okay, so I'll tell you what I think Pshat is. I think that Rashi, you're not reading inside, but he says, the point is he's bothered by something. He's saying is, that you're saying is, what's the problem here? The problem is that you didn't intend to carry it out. Right? Let's look at the case. Again, the case here is, you pick a thing up in your house without the intent. It's like accidental. You don't mean to carry it out, you just mean to carry it in your house. And then you change your mind in the middle, and you walk outside. Okay, so the thing is that you're potter because you didn't have intent. You're lacking intent. Okay, so you're lacking intent because when you picked it up, you didn't have intent to be doing chutzah. So even though at the end part, and we're going to get to this, but even though the carrying out and the putting it down was with intent, but the first step in the process, namely the picking it up, you didn't have intent to do chutzah, to carry, and therefore somehow it's okay. So but what's lacking here? What's lacking is intent. So the problem is that if you do a malacha without intent, that's called shogeg. That's like by accident. And you have to bring a garbon if you do a malacha without intent, so you have to bring garbon. So what are you saying is that if the guy picks it up without having intent, he's a potter, he doesn't have to do anything because he didn't have intent at the beginning of the thing. Yeah, but a shogeg, that's the very case of shogeg. Shogeg means you don't have intent. And we see that if you do something by accident without intent, so we say you're obligated to bring carbon. So why here is Rabbi Yochanan saying that you're not chayev? What do you mean it should be chayev carbon? Because he lacked intent. So what's wrong with lacking intent? So you lack intent that you're always lacking intent. So that's what Rashi is saying, is there's a difference. There's a difference between, he's saying, when the Torah says that shogig means where you plan on, let's say cooking. You want to cook. Okay, you intend to cook. You're trying to cook. The only thing is, you didn't realize that it's Shabbos. Or you didn't realize you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. Okay, that's shogig. So the thing is, that's accidental. So the violation is accidental. But here, you didn't even try to cook. Or you didn't even try to carry. You weren't even trying to carry it. You were just trying to bring it within your house, which isn't carrying. So you weren't even, you didn't have intent to do the activity itself. See, in shogeg, you had intent to do the activity, but you didn't have intent to sin. Because you didn't know it was wrong. You didn't know it was Shabbos. You didn't know that you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. You're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So that's when you bring a carbon, because you should have known. Or something to that effect. You should have known. As you plan to do the activity, and it's prohibited, and therefore you have to bring a carbon. But here again, you didn't even intend to do the activity. That's not malachas machshavas. It's only malachas machshavas if you're intending to do the action, but you didn't know some external fact. You didn't know that it was Shabbos. You didn't know that you were not allowed to do it. But they're saying this case is where you didn't even intend to do the action. That's not even malachas machshavas. That's learned that from the Mishkan. That's not the case where you have to bring a carbon. The case you have to bring a carbon is where you know what you're doing. You just don't know that it's prohibited. You're accidental in the violation. Here it's like you're accidental in the very action itself. So that's what he's saying, is that you're not chayav for. So that's pshat. So why not? So why aren't you chayav to bring karma? What's the difference? I mean, that's just, in fact, that's the difference. The difference is you not know about that it's a violation. If you don't know that it's a violation, then basically you have to bring karma. But if you know that, if you don't know that you're doing the action itself, you don't even have to bring carbon. So why? I mean, what's the difference? Why don't you say the same thing? Either way, it's accidental. Either way, you don't have intent to do the thing. Why should there be such a difference? You know what I mean? The other one? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Rashi on Lamed Ksubos Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph is a little clearer. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a little clearer. But that's what he's saying. That once you read it here, it reads in Tarashi also. I mean, it's not written as clearly here. But I think the way it reads here, I'll read it back to here. It says, the Torah, I'm kind of picking up from the first white line, the Torah lochiva al malachas machshavas. The Torah only obligates you for malachas machshavas, where you have intent. We learn from the Mishkan that it means where you have intent to do the malacha. But when it says the Torah is only mechayiv, it means mechayiv you shogeg carbon. It says Torah is only mechayiv you carbon. You intend to do the malacha, avalo yodeashu Shabbos, but you don't know that it's Shabbos. So k'savar shemalchus umetara. So you think that it's mutar. So that's going on when the Torah is lochiva. Torah only obligates you on a carbon when you know that this is that you're doing the you intend to do the malacha, but you just don't know that it's Shabbos. So you don't know that it's prohibited. Okay, I mean, it reads. Once you see that, but I think I don't think I was able to figure out how it read until I saw the other one. He's clear. I don't know, something about the grammar. Something's tricky here. But whatever. That's what he's saying, though. Hey, he's saying, okay, so Chaim Gary, right. I think it means that you have to know what malacha is. Malacha is not a mechanical action. Okay? Malacha is not a mechanical action. Okay? It's like a human, it's like a conceptual action. It can't be defined by mechanics. Just like describing the physical form of the action. But it's a human activity. And it involves a human being with intent and planning and accomplishing a goal using a certain type of productivity. That's what malacha means. Malacha does not mean putting baking. Or it doesn't mean putting something in the oven and having it get ready. But malacha means malacha is a type of a human activity whereby human beings, that's what productivity is. He sees a certain objective that he wants to accomplish. He designs he sees an action which could bring about that objective. And he does the action in a manner which will bring about the objective. And that's what we call human productivity. And there's the malachas. There are 39 categories of human productivity. Whereby man uses his mind. That's malachas machshavas. Machshava. That's what it's called, malachas machshavas. So machshava is thought. So it means malacha is where a person uses thought in order to accomplish a combination of thought and an action in order to bring about a certain goal. That's what malacha is. And if you don't have that, that's not malacha. If you don't do that, you may be physically doing the action, but it's not malacha. Right? That's not malacha. Malacha is where you're planning, where you have intent. So for instance, if you're not intending to do the action, it's not that you're doing it by accident. That's not the action. Okay? Because malacha doesn't mean cooking. It doesn't mean the physical action called cooking. Or it doesn't mean carrying. It's a certain human activity where you are accomplishing your intent through an action. But if you're doing it by accident, or if you're doing the action by accident, that's not malacha. It would be like if you bang into a light switch. Let's say the eternal light is malacha. Okay, so let's say if you bang into a light switch by accident, that's not malacha. Okay, the light went on. Mechanically, there's absolutely no difference between a guy who goes over the light switch and turns it on or bangs his elbow into the thing by accident. But the answer is no. If malacha were a mechanical action, then it's the exact same thing. But if malacha is a human activity whereby a person notices a dark room and he does a certain type of a process in order to light up the room, so then you don't say he's doing that when he bangs into it. So the action happens, but if he's not intending to do it, he's not doing malacha. So and what Chayav for on Shabbos is malacha. Chayav for on Shabbos is malacha. Now, if you intend to turn on the light, but you forget that it's Shabbos, so then you're involved in that human activity of creating a light room. You're involved in that. You just happen to not know that you're not allowed to do that. Or you don't know that it's Shabbos. So then you're doing the action, but the sin, the avera quality in the thing, is accidental. So the halacha says that you're obligated for doing a sin by accident. You should have been careful. You should have been vigilant. But that's where you're doing the action. It's just that you're the sin. The quality of avera was by accident. But again, if you're in malacha is unique here, where if you do the action by accident, it's not even malacha. So I'm saying it's not even malacha. I mean, that's why it's different than other areas. If you eat pig by accident, you're eating pig. Because eating is a mechanical action. You may not know it's pig, but that's it. Pig is pig. And eating is eating. You can't get out of eating. Eating is eating. But here, the very activity is lacking if you don't have intent. Okay? So when it says shogeg, when you're chayv by doing it with shogeg, that means where you have to have some degree of intent. Can't be like a regular thing where you have no intent whatsoever. You have the intent to do the action, but it's a shogeg. It's an accident vis-a-vis the isser. Prohibition. Okay? Okay. That's a general thing Rashi's saying. So far, it doesn't relate to our case in specific. We have to get into our case in specific because it's a little more tricky. It's where you did part of the thing with intent and the other part without intent. But Rashi's just addressing something prior point. Before you get into our case, you have to understand the whole premise behind this discussion. The premise behind the discussion is what the concept of malacha is. Digression. Okay. This is a similar, I won't say a similar idea, a very related idea. Related conceptually, but very different in fact. There's a halacha of peruvo that you're obligated to have kids. Okay? Obligated to have kids. So the pasa, it's a gemara. It's learning that from pasa. It's peruvo umaluasar tzuchiv shua. So you should be fruitful and multiply and fill the world and conquer it. Okay? And conquer it. Okay, like part of having kids is like populating the world and man expressing his dominion, his conquest of the world through having, through populating the world and developing the world. So that's the puzzle, says you have to have kids. Okay? So it says only a man is obligated in Peruvu, not a woman. Okay? Only a man is obligated. So why? So because it says v'chivshua, and you should conquer it. Okay? So it says it's not, it's the way of a man to conquer. It's not the way of a woman to conquer. Okay, so that's how they learn how it. So you should fruitful, multiply, fill the world, and conquer. So it says it's the way of man to conquer. It's not the way of woman to conquer. So women don't conquer. Okay. So the question is, okay, so it's not the woman of woman to conquer. But the Torah says that you should do it. So who cares if it's not our way? It's not my way to fast on Yom Kippur. But that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is even though it's not your way, you have to do it. It's an important thing here to conquer, to populate the world and to conquer the world, and therefore, who cares that it's not your way to do it? It's not, what kind of excuse is that? So, but there's an obligation here, right? So what's the difference that it's not her way to do it? Right? You follow the question? Right. Okay, so this is going back, but I wanted to say that it means because, like, conquest. See, here's the thing. You can't be a conqueror by accident. Okay? Like, for instance, let's say a guy by accident banged into the switch that blows up the world, you know? He put, banged his elbow into it. You wouldn't call him a conqueror. Okay? You'd say he destroyed the world, but you wouldn't call him a conqueror. Because a conqueror, conquest means where you're, so to speak, subordinating the world or subordinating something to your plan. Okay? You have a certain type of a plan. Certain drive for conquest and for power, and you subordinate the world to that to that mindset, like a conqueror, like Napoleon. He wanted to capture the world, and he brought about, imposed his will on the world, on the external world. That's like a type of a conquest. Okay, and if you do it by accident and there's no will, that's simply not conquest. It's not the action of conquest. So the action of conquest is not the same type of thing. It's not a mechanical action. Certain actions. It involves the gavra, involve the personality and the mindset, but they're not. It's not. That's the type of action, a certain type of human action. So therefore, it says that that the mitzvah of peruvu is not just to have kids, but it's a certain type of a conquest of the world. Okay, it's a. However, through having kids, it's conquer the world through having kids. Okay, it's a certain type of a conquest that the Torah is telling you to do. By saying Ubik of Shua, it doesn't say just have kids. It says have kids and conquer. So it's an element, the type of conquering the world is through having kids. So therefore, if a woman is not her nature to conquer, so she doesn't have that in general. A woman doesn't have that drive. So therefore, for her to have kids, it simply wouldn't be conquest. It's very nice. Being not her nature, it's not my nature to fast, but if I fast, I'm fasting. Fasting is a mechanical thing. I didn't fast. But if it's not your nature to conquer, then you simply can't conquer. Because conquer means you're subordinating the world to your drive for conquest. Okay, you're, you have a certain internal thing and you're realizing it in the universe. But if you don't have that drive, it's simply not conquest. So therefore, if a woman would have kids, it wouldn't be conquest. But the mitzvah is to mepurushua. It's an expression of conquest. So therefore, it can't be by a woman. It's only by a man. Amen? Mm-hmm. It's machlokas, though. There's another shidu says that a woman is also chayav. Because it's a good question how he gets around that problem. You look at the sugya film. I think it's in Yuval Samachay, I'm thinking. That thing? He learns that. The other side learns that v'chiv shuha is like plural. And you, plural, should conquer it. So it implies two people. It implies the man and the woman. But the question is very nice, but how do you get around the problem conceptually? Conceptually, it's not a conquest. I mean, you can look at it. It's an interesting one. Exactly. Right. For instance, if a woman would be having kids, it would be like satisfying her maternal instinct, something like that. It wouldn't be conquest. It's a conquering drive in man. And when a man has a child, he's making his mark on the world. That's what he's doing. A certain type of a conquest. And if a woman would do it, she's just not doing that. That's not, she doesn't have the desire to do that, and her action of having a kid is not that. That's just not it. It's satisfying a maternal instinct or something else. Okay, it's just not, and you can't make yourself have that. Again, I'm not saying there may be a woman who has that thing, but generically. Generically, it's not the nature of woman, and that's not what having a kid is. Having a kid is an act of conquest for a woman. So therefore, since the Torah expresses it that way, so he derived that is, it's not just to actually make someone have a kid. If it were, then even a woman should be obligated, but that's not the mitzvah. So it's to conquer through having a kid. So that's only by a man, it can't be by a woman.
So when Golda Meir...
Categorically, again, categorically, I'm not saying there hasn't ever been a woman conqueror in the history of the world. I'm saying it's categorically that the mitzvah is a system of is a universal system. And as the mitzvah universally, I'm sure there have been men who have been effeminate, and for having a child for them was satisfying their maternal instinct. Mm-hmm. However, you know, whatever. But I mean, you could have different psychological, abnormal psychologies. But I'm saying categorically for a man, that's it's making his mark on the world, a conquest. And categorically for a woman, it's not that. And therefore, the Torah obligates a group of people. The Torah isn't obligating every individual person. Mm-hmm. Briefly, I think what I'd say there is that the other side holds that when the woman... The action, if a woman would be having a child, it wouldn't be a conquest. But since the woman is, it's a two-person action, so therefore she's involved in conquest via the fact that the man, it's conquest for the man, and the woman is participating in the action. So therefore you could say that she's involved in conquest secondarily. You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't say she's a conqueror, but you could say it's an action of conquest via the man. I mean, so therefore you could argue that she's also obligated. I mean, what the psychology, again, I'm not going into what the psychology is here. I mean, I'm sure there's a psychological, you could define it more precisely what it is psychologically and what she's doing. My point is that you can't always boil actions down to their mechanical components or their physical components. But certain activities, human beings are complex, and certain activities is the same exact thing. I think which could look exactly the same could be different, but involving intent. But that doesn't mean it's like a subjective reality. That is objectively what malacha is. It's not subjective. That's what malacha is. Malacha is a human being accomplishing a certain productivity through a certain action, and without intent, it's simply not malacha. Objectively, I mean, so. Certain times, if you start bringing intent in, it's like a subjective thing. Here, the very definition of malacha is absent if you don't have intent. It's not because it's not malacha. Then it's just turning. It's just baking. It's not malacha. Baking is a process whereby bread goes from raw to baked, inedible to edible. But that's not malacha. Malacha isn't that process. Malacha is a human activity whereby a person makes something edible through engaging in a certain process. And without the person, that's not malacha. Malacha involves the person. It doesn't just involve a physical action. Of course there's an action. But you can't divorce the gavra. You can't divorce the mindset.
Of course.
Exactly.
You have no
idea. Exactly right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Gary's saying, well, is that if mankind didn't have this thing called conquest, there'd be no word conquest. There would just be a word of blowing up the world. It'd be a word of destroying. Destroying is a good word. What's the whole word conquest? The whole word is, what kind of word is that? The word is because there's a psyche. Man has a psyche, and there's a drive, there's a certain type of a drive in man for conquest, and therefore when man aligns himself with that drive, there's a word. Mankind made up a word called conquest because of the internal, the psychological reality in man, which has such a desire. But mechanically, a physicist doesn't have such a thing called conquest. In the physicist world, there's no such thing as conquest. In physics, what's conquest? There's destruction. What's the difference if he thought about it or not? In any physics, there's no difference whatsoever. It's purely in the guy's head. Okay, if it's by accident or on purpose, what's the difference in physics? But it's because of psychology. But human activities are defined conceptually, and they involve the human beings. Okay, like an animal, it can't be a conqueror. Okay, a lion isn't a conqueror. I mean, we could call it conquest because we project human motivations onto the thing. But it's not really a conqueror. Okay, it's just acting as whatever. It's just doing its instinct. I mean, I would think. I mean, you could argue about it. We could get into animals, I don't know. But maybe you could argue that's an instinct of conquest. Whatever. But, any question? Alrighty, so back to our issue, right? Okay. So this is, so what's it saying? So the thing is that when you, basically Hotzah has three steps. Okay, there's three steps in Hotzah and carry. Step one is you uproot the object from the ground. Step two is you carry it across the border and from one domain to another domain, a different domain. Step three is you put it down on the ground and then you reestablish its location in the new location. Okay, so you uproot it, its makom, its place, change it to a new one, and then you reestablish it in the new place. And here, basically, the case is where you picked it up without any intent to do a malacha. You weren't involved in malacha at all. You're just picking it up in order to walk out to bring it to the next room. And that was not, did not have intent for malacha. Okay, it wasn't productivity or whatever. Then, midway through the process, you change your mind, you decide to carry it out and put it down. And those have intent. But it's saying is, but since the first step didn't have intent, you're not chayav. Okay? What about that? You'll have to wait until tomorrow. Okay, so let's see what happens. So the Gemara says again, so the case is where you change your mind in the middle. So you change your mind in the middle, so you're saying you're chayav. Yeah, I'm sorry, you're not chayav. You change your mind in the middle, you're not chayav. The only way you're going to be chayav, okay, in violation, is if you stop walking, plant yourself down, then you start walking again with the intent of carrying, then the entire process is done with intent. Okay? But again, if you just start walking without intent to carry, and then you just change your mind in the middle, it's too late, because the first step in the process lacked the intent of a malacha. So the Gemara says, it says, I'll go through this quickly, but basically Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Usha Amar Lafash. That's assuming that when you stopped to rest. Okay, that's assuming you stopped to rest. Okay? But if you stopped to adjust your bundle, okay, if instead you didn't stop to stop, you just stopped because you had to adjust your bundle was slipping, you just had to adjust it, then that's not considered stopping. And that's basically considered like you were continuous. Okay? It says, Mimai, how do you know? It says, Omar Mar, Tok Del Aramos, Omad Lafush Potter. The Kasev Chayev. Okay? Chutz Del Aramos, Omad Lafush Chayev, the Kasev Potter. Okay, so this is talking about, okay, so here's the thing. So it's talking about a case where you're not allowed to carry a thing 4 amos, let's say 6 feet, within a public domain, within a shizrab. So the thing is, you're not allowed to carry 6 feet, you're not allowed to pick it up here, and then put it down, for dalat amos away. Okay, 4 amos away. So the thing is, let's say you pick it up, and then you start walking, and in the middle of the four amos, you stop. So it says, if you stop to rest, if you stop to rest within the 4 amos, so then you basically split it in half. Then it's like you're putting it down, and then you're starting again, so you're not going to be a chayev. But if you stop to adjust it, then that's not considered a stop, and then you're going to be chayev, because then basically it's like 4 continuous amos. He says, but if you stop, let's say instead of stopping during, you stop afterwards, after the 4 amos, if you stop after 4 amos, if you're stopping to rest, so then you stop, you put it down after 4 amos. If you stop to adjust it, so then you haven't really put it down. That's not considered putting it down. So then you're not going to be chayev. So until you actually put it down, you're not going to be chayev. Okay, so that's just another statement. So he's saying that's just halacha. That's a statement. So it seems to me that's the exact same thing. Right? And isn't that? So that's just telling you, that's the statement which is out there, which he has said some other time, that in the case of carrying 4 amos, that basically you see clearly from there that stopping in order to put it to rest is considered putting it down, but stopping in order to adjust the bundle is not considered putting it down. So the Gemara is asking, my Kamash Malan, what do you have to teach me? Again, because here's the order. Rabbi Yochanan says that if you're carrying this stuff around, in our case, and you just keep going, okay, you don't stop, then you're potter, because you never intended to you didn't pick it up with the intent. So then the Gemara says, hold on. Okay, Abaye comes along and says that's only if Abaye is coming along and saying it depends. It's only if you stop to rest. Okay, it's only if you stop to rest, not if you stop to just yibando. So the Gemara says, so what's Abaye coming to teach us? So it says it must be he's coming to teach us about this resting and the carrying, adjusting thing, adjusting the bundle thing. He says, yeah, but he already said that in this other case of Dalai Lamas. We already know that principle. That stopping it only counts as stopping if you're adjusting, if you stop to rest, but not if you stop to adjust the bundle. So what's this whole case trying to teach us? So it says, That's the thing. What's the whole first case teaching us? What's the whole first case teaching us? Right? Not what's the Babaya teaching us, but what's this whole halacha teaching us? Of course, you didn't have intent. So you didn't have intent. You know, of course, you're not chayev. If you don't have intent, we know that if you don't do malacha without intent, that's not considered malacha. So it says, no, it's teaching us shelo hoysa kira mishor rishona lakach. It says that it's teaching, it must be teaching you that the reason why that you're pater, you're not obligated, because since your initial intent in the malacha wasn't to do malacha, so therefore you're not chayev. Okay, you're not chayev. Right, so it says, yeah, but that also he already taught us. Some riachan chadazimna damar safim rabami riachan maver chafatz min zavas zavas and nechalaim otziyan poter. So basically, it says this. He already taught us this statement once before. So it says enochlam. You're right. It says maver ha'ilosh maver ha'ilosh. So it says basically, it says the same statement. But it says, essentially, the statement is there to teach us the fact that if when you do otzah. If you do otzah, if your initial intent when you pick it up is not to carry it out, you're not chayev. And that's what he's trying to teach us. Okay, apparently I would have thought that you would be chayev. Even though your initial pickup was not to carry it out, I would have thought you would be chayev. Now why would I think that? Now he's not coming to teach us the principle that malacha needs intent. That's a fact. That's you don't need Rabbi Yochanan to teach me that. That's what's learned that from the Pasuk, from the Mishkan. You don't need that. Rabbi Yochanan is teaching me in this case where I started doing the thing without intent. Right? I started doing the first time I picked it up without intent to do it, and then I changed my mind in the middle and I carry it. Right? And then I changed my mind in order to do it with intent. So you might think that that's considered intent. Right? You might think that's considered intent. Right? Because you had intent the whole rest of it. So she's like, no. It has to be intent from the very beginning. It has to be intent from the very beginning. And if you don't have intent from the very beginning, that's not considered intent. Okay? Yeah.
Maybe.
So the question is, what's this for? Why would I think? What would I have thought vis-a-vis intent, and what's it teaching me? You know?